You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back with the Sports Rabbi Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball all the way up north to Nahariya, down south a lot, and all the great places in between, whether it is Be'er Sheva, if it is Haifa, if it is Ganer, if it is Tel Aviv. We take you to all those great places. And, of course, the Israeli Basketball Championship Series between Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Gilboa Galil has come to an end, and we are going to break that down, of course, with A.J. Mitnick, our amazing Sports Rabbi basketball analyst. But before we do that, we have to remind everybody, if you enjoy this podcast, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the great places where you can find your podcast. Leave us a five-star rating. You can reach out to me at The Sports Rabbi on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com in English and in Hebrew for the greatest and latest Israeli sports news. Of course, as I just mentioned, Maccabi Tel Aviv, for the 55th time in their history, capture the Israeli championship. They defeat Hapoel Gilboa Galil 2-1 in a best-of-three series. And to break that all down with a sports rabbi, it is A.J. Mitnick. Of course, A.J. Mitnick, the former assistant coach of Maccabi Tel Aviv, Nes Ciona, B'nai Herzliya, many, many more. He is coming to us today from Los Angeles, or around Los Angeles, California. We're excited to have him. AJ, what's going on, baby?
Yeah, I'm out here in Newport Beach, California. Nice weather, a little bit less hot than Israel. Had to bust a sweatshirt out for the first time in a while. But yeah, things are going good out here.
So, AJ, you've been watching the games, of course, across Atlantic. The Sports Rabbi was at all the games this week. It's been a long week, I got to tell you. So if I sound a little bit tired, it's because I am. But, wow, Maccabi Tel Aviv down Hapoel Gilboa Galil 2-1 in a fabulous series. The first game, Maccabi Tel Aviv wins 83-74. Pretty much a convincing win. They took an early lead, and they kind of held on to it for the rest of the game. Game two, which looked like Maccabi Tel Aviv was going to go up to Ganer in the Galilee and finish off the series, did not turn out that way at all. Gilboa Galil comes out flying, takes a 30-16 lead after the first quarter, never looked back. Maccabi Tel Aviv came close. They tied it up 74-74, and we'll break that all down, but they just couldn't do enough. Joe Thomason with a big three-pointer. It was a late night in the Galilee, and then, of course, game three a day after in Tel Aviv. Maccabi Tel Aviv wins 73-67. Another case where Maccabi Tel Aviv looked very strong in the first half, 42-29 after the third quarter, 61-47. And then, of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv hit the proverbial brick wall. They could not find the basket for about the first 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. The referees helped Gilboa Galil get back into the game, and it got very close, 63-60, with about 2 minutes left. Maccabi Tel Aviv with a couple baskets, Othello Hunter, Chris Jones, bump up that lead again, and they take the victory for the 55th championship. Between that and their cups, they have 100 league titles. They did not count the Winter Cup in there, the preseason tournament. It was a fun night. Got to celebrate with the players, got to hang out, got to catch all the post-game quotes. We'll have that at sportsrabbi.com. AJ, initial thoughts of this series?
Yeah, I mean, it ended up being an extremely hard-fought series. You know, you couldn't have really asked for – you know, when we were talking that we would abandon the Final Four and go into a series, like this is kind of what they were intending, a drama, close games. You know, I think Gilboa showed that there's a lot more parity in the Israeli league than there was traditionally. So I think it's good for the league. You know, it justifies continuing having series instead of going back to the Final Four format. Even though Maccabi Tel Aviv won, you know, I think this was actually, you know, in the history of their club, you know, even though this definitely was by no means one of the better and more convincing seasons of Maccabi on the court, you know, they've been going at it, I think, what, 20, 21 months straight with barely any breaks, playing in some of the most difficult circumstances of any of the EuroLeague teams, of any of the Israeli league teams, just of how many games they've played and COVID protocols and, you know, everything they've had to go through. So, And I think for them to win this title is probably, you know, for many of the players, management staff, like one of their most meaningful team accomplishments. And I think a lot of them are pretty itching to get on vacation for a little while, to be honest.
Oh yes. They all told me they are going to be on flights today, tonight, on Friday to get the heck out of Israel. They're finished. I mean, like, the players are done. And you can't blame them. You know, it's amazingly, we say that, you know, they had such a tough year, you know, on and off the court. They still took home all three Israeli titles. They took home a treble this season. First time they did that since the David Blatt year when they won the EuroLeague, I believe. So it's been a long time since they actually won three titles, which is really an amazing in itself, considering that they, you know, they kind of struggled to the finish line. It was clear. And let's just talk about that. Scotty Wilbekin, AJ, was just fabulous. I mean, he put it into, like, sixth gear when it was money time in the playoff series. He was just fabulous. He put it all out on the line for the team. He looked fresh. Ever since the end of the conflict with Gaza, he has come out flying. He wanted to end the season on a high note. He gained so much love by the Israeli public and by the fans by his very pro-Israel stance during the conflict and his hasbara, his public relations with his wife, being so positive about Israel. And he just was fabulous. I don't know what else to say. I mean, you look at the games that he played after that break, 25 points, 17 points, 23 points, 13 points, 27 points. And then you look at the playoffs, you know, we're at 10, 15, 8, 15, 24, 34, 19. And he was just fabulous. And the games where he didn't score a lot, he was had assists 6, 6, 8, 5. In the playoffs, he was just fabulous, and he took the bull by the horns, and you could see he was having fun playing basketball. He wanted to win. He put everything aside and said, you know what, I'm going to just go out there, have a good time, put all that nonsense and that everything that went on this year, the fatigue aside, and I'm going out to win this championship. And he did. He did.
Yeah, I mean, I think Scotty did a few things, like, over the last few weeks since the war. I think he, you know, anyone who was talking about, you know, maybe that there was other players who had a better season in the Israeli league or other guys who, you know, might be gunning for a spot. I think he cemented himself as clear cut the best player in the Israeli league this year. I think, you know, if you watch the playoffs, it's obvious.
Yeah.
You know, Scotty Wilbekin, when he has it going, he's awesome. But I think it goes beyond that. I think he's shown, you know, like that. The DNA of the club of Maccabi Tel Aviv really has rubbed off on him. Mm-hmm. You know, and Maccabi for many years, you know, just being the team of the country. I think I'm starting to sense from him a lot of the same of, you know, what you saw from guys like a Devin Smith or guys like an Anthony Parker or many of the other Maccabi, you know, like big time heroes of the past, that like there's something with it, with Scotty Wilbekin being in Maccabi. And I think, you know, if they'll accomplish something in EuroLeague in the coming years, which I really hope they will, because, you know, like since the new format of EuroLeague, they haven't really had a playoff success. You know, it was kind of robbed from them last year. Mm-hmm. So hopefully in the next year, 2-3 years, like, they'll be able to put it together. And I think this period after the war will be remembered as like a turning point for Scotty Wilbekin, when he really became like a true Maccabi player. I think this will be a period that we look back on. I think this finals MVP was really deserved for him. Mm-hmm. And I think he bought the hearts of, you know, Maccabi fans, Maccabi management. Like, I think there's no way you could have watched the last few games and not want to roll with Scotty Wilbekin in Israel.
Yeah, I mean, Scotty Wilbekin is now, you know, he's in the pantheon of Maccabi greats. There's no question he will be remembered as one of those great players. It doesn't matter what else he'll do. He's, you know, like you said, he bought the heart of.
No, I mean, let's pause for a minute. To be a Maccabi great, you need to accomplish something in EuroLeague.
Yes.
Maccabi is a big enough club. You know, they've done a lot, like, to make it to that top first tier Maccabi legend, you got to do something in EuroLeague. But I think this is the start of something good for him, I think.
Yeah. No, there's no question. But he is going to go down as, you know, one of those the all-time favorites, you know, right up there. There's no question. And again, I think his his really pro-Israel stance cemented that within the fan base. And, you know, just the way they cheer his name after the games, during the games. I mean, it's very and I think he just is taken to it. I mean, he literally took the championship plate, as he did with the State Cup trophy, and went right into the fans last night. He wanted to be, you know, he wants to be part of this. And he knows at this point, we're going to get to the roster in a minute, but he knows that they have to make some serious changes on that roster in order to be competitive in the EuroLeague. You know, I spoke to John DiBartolomeo after the game, and they know that the goal is the EuroLeague. You know, as much as they have won now four Israeli championships in a row, and they brought the State Cup back to Maccabi, which they hadn't had in a number of seasons, they know that ultimately they are going to be judged, like you said, on the EuroLeague. And they have to be able to take it up a notch. And in order to do that, they're going to have to make some serious changes. They're going to have to make some hard changes. That's going to be a question. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, Gilboa Galil in this series. They were just amazing. I mean, hard fought. They were tough. They never gave up. They were focused. The only time they were shell-shocked, and Avishai Gordon said this also in the press conference after game two, was the first, you know, 5 minutes or few minutes of game one, where they were just shell-shocked to be in the final. But after that moment, they were fine. They took it in stride. They understood where they were. They got amazing play out of, you know, out of so many different players in so many different times. If it was Yiftach Ziv, if it was Kerry Blackshear, if it was Jehiva Floyd, if it was Joe Thomas, and Isaiah Cousins with some big baskets. Unfortunately, by game three, I think it's a combination of playing in, you know, in front of 11,000 Maccabi Tel Aviv fans, a combination of playing back-to-back games, which many of these players haven't done. We know it's, you know, pretty normal in the NBA, but in Europe, it is not something that is done on a frequent basis. And if ever, even Scotty even said this is the first time he played back-to-back games since he was in high school. So you're talking about a adjustment that these guys had to make, and it showed. I mean, 18 turnovers in the final game, but still they were there to the end, and they were able to hold Maccabi in that fourth quarter to make a frantic comeback. Amit Gershon was excellent from deep, but you know, when Amit Gershon's your leading scorer in your third game, and nothing to take away nothing from Amit Gershon, who's a great guy and a friend of the Sports Rabbi program, you're not going to win when Amit Gershon is your high scorer.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's true in 2020, 2021. Hopefully, you know, I think Amit Gershon is actually one of the players who that playoffs, I think, maybe increased his stock the most among Israeli players, you know, just showing his, you know, good shot making ability. And just that, you know, I think there wasn't really much question about his shot, but him showing that at in the important moments, he can keep himself on the floor with you know, the rest of his game.
His defense is fabulous.
Showing that he's competitive, like he's just a quite competitive player, a good shooter type of player that's, you know, becoming more important in today's game. Mm-hmm. I think Gilboa's, you know, we got to stop maybe calling him Gilboa Galil soon now that we got Galil Elyon making a comeback. But I think that they were a very important team the last 2 years for just the progression of the Israeli league. You know, Natan El Arzi getting a chance to be a starter on a team that goes to the finals, like mm-hmm. it's no joke. And you know, a lot of their younger guys, Yotam Chanochi, Gil Benny, getting a chance to get minutes, Benny Asrour getting right. a chance to get minutes. But really also Yiftach Ziv just getting the center stage to show the rest of, you know, to show Europe, to show, you know, maybe Maccabi or Jerusalem that he's, you know, ready for big club basketball. And I hope a lot of other teams will look at, you know, what Gilboa is able to accomplish the last 2 years, like giving an opportunity to these, you know, young, maybe a little bit less proven Israeli players and showing that, you know, they can really lead you to new heights. But, I mean, it can't be underscored that their foreigners were fantastic this year. You know, Joe Thomason, like, I think his series that he had, like his playoffs that he had, I think is underscored a little by just the depth of guards that there are in the league. But his game two performance was fantastic. Defense, offense, Jehiva Floyd and Kerry Blackshear, I think you're going to see them in, you know, much bigger places next year. I think Kerry Blackshear showed you know, if he didn't have these, you know, physical issues, like he's probably a top EuroLeague player. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, to me, you have three players on that team that are EuroLeague level. We asked Yanis Varopoulos about this before.
Iftakhzyev, Floyd, and Blackshear.
Yeah, those three guys have the EuroLeague potential to be solid EuroLeague players. I don't know if we're going to say stars or, you know, they can develop. But if I'm Maccabi Tel Aviv, and we asked Yanis Varopoulos, we said, do you feel, this is before game one, do you feel that Gilboa will have EuroLeague level players? And he said, why not? So, you know, he knows. And I think that if Maccabi Tel Aviv has a chance to sign all three, any of those three, two of the three, I take them. I take them now. They're here in your backyard. They've let so many players go other times, like a Zach Ledeh, for example. That's a perfect player that was right here in their backyard, and they let him walk. And, you know, he's obviously developing into a very solid European player. But you take these guys. You take them right now. They're here. You can pay them. They're not going to be looking for big money. They have a lot of potential. I think that Kerry Blackshear, when he can get open from deep, and, you know, game two he was. Games one and three he was not. He only took one three-pointer between games one and three in Yad Eliyahu. He took he went 3 for 5, I believe, in game two. That's when we really saw how dangerous Kerry Blackshear can be as a stretch four. He's tough. He's smart. He's intelligent. He's bright. He can continue to develop in that way. Jahiva Floyd played superb defense. He plays extremely well above the rim. I think he was exposed a little bit in this third game. There's no question. Both he and Blackshear were exposed. They picked up a lot of early fouls, and that kind of set the tone for the game. Jahiva Floyd, though, has the frame. I spoke to one of the Maccabi players at between games one and two. We spoke specifically about Jahiva Floyd, and he said to me, he said, this guy is like EuroLeague player written all over him. He has the body. He has the frame. He has the IQ. He has the defense. He has the feet. He couldn't stop talking about how well a player like Jahiva Floyd would fit in on a team like Maccabi Tel Aviv. And, of course, Iftakhzyev, that to me is the most difficult of the questions here. Now, Iftakhzyev, it's clear, AJ, that he wants to go somewhere where he's going to be the lead fiddle. He's going to be the top dog. And I don't know if he's going to get that at Maccabi Tel Aviv. And I think he knows that he's not going to get that at Maccabi Tel Aviv unless, and I've said this now for the last couple of days, unless Scotty Wilbekin tells management, listen, I want to play next to this guy. I want to be on the court with Iftakhzyev. This is the guy that I want. That is the only way I see him going to Maccabi Tel Aviv. Otherwise, he really wants to be in Europe. He wants to be in Spain. He said that after game two press conference. He said that to us in a long interview over last summer. That he, you know, he wants to be a top dog in Spain or in Europe. That's going to be hard. He may have to start out on a smaller team. I think that there is a lot of potential for him. His maturity level is much higher than it was when his days in Nahariya. Those three players, if I'm Maccabi Tel Aviv, I make every ounce of effort to try to find a way to sign them. But again, I think Iftakh is the most difficult there because, to me, Scotty Wilbekin needs to pick a player that he's going to be comfortable with playing with in the backcourt. And we'll get to Maccabi's roster soon. And Chris Jones is not that player. That's clear. He's very comfortable playing with John. But John, again, has his limitations. He was excellent. But again, John DiBartolomeo playing 20 minutes in these final series, that would have never happened should Elijah Bryant or Tyler Dorsey still been on the team. And we'll get to that in a few minutes about how Maccabi has to retool. But those are my thoughts on those three players in the EuroLeague.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope I'm not sure if I agree with you that, you know, I'm sure Iftakh wants to have the keys, you know, for any team. You know, from knowing Iftakh, you know, I think if you put him on the, you know, if you put him on the Clippers, you would think he should get the ball every time instead of Kawhi and Paul George. but you know, all joking aside, like, I don't see any reason why Iftakh couldn't go to Maccabi in his first year there, you know, be a backup. And, you know, he's a great defender. He plays with a lot of energy. I think, you know, he can easily shift himself into a role playing next to Wilbekin or any other top guards that Maccabi brings onto the roster. And I think whether he starts or comes off the bench, I just think, you know, at the EuroLeague level, he's not going to be like Teodosic in his first year. So I don't see any reason why he should have any more or less of a problem transitioning to Maccabi than to any other big club. I just think, you know, the fact that he's Israeli, the fact that he plays with so much passion, I think Maccabi, since they've lost, you know, Guy Pnini and Yogevo Chayon, Zussman, he's an incredible player, you know, a very great young talent, but he's a much more calm demeanor type of kid. And Iftach is a little bit more, you know, plays with his heart on his sleeve.
They need a fiery
and
player.
I think Maccabi's been, you know, since Pnini left, missing that, you know, very outward, energetic Israeli personality in the team. I think it's a good match for both sides that I hope to see happen.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Jehiva Floyd is the epitome of what an Israeli league big man is. Undersized when it comes to height. He can block shots, finish at the rim. I think, you know, similar to a guy like Dunston, like he could have like a, you know, long, fruitful EuroLeague career. Mm-hmm. I think for Maccabi, it would be pretty a pretty good match, you know, that he's probably not so expensive. And, you know, that he could end up being there for a while, be kind of like how Sean James used to be, mm-hmm. that, you know, when he had some periods where, you know, because he's such a good player in the Israeli league, he got into a good shape, a good rhythm, and, you know, even had some months, you know, when, you know, Sofo or other guys like went down or had foul trouble, where I think he even got EuroLeague player of the month once or twice. So I could see Floyd being a guy who overachieves in the EuroLeague if he goes to Maccabi, just because, you know, his being so fit for the Israeli league, I think will build his confidence throughout the season.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree on it. I mean, to me, again, Jehiva Floyd, before even the last couple months, I've been saying Floyd is like the one player Maccabi's got to get. He won't be expensive. I mean, like, he's just not going to be. And he has so much potential. And I think the great comparison you just gave, and I think fans have to understand, is Brian Dunston should be in Israel today. He should have been in Israel over the last X amount of years. He should have never been able to leave. And I think he was a player that, that, you know, shouldn't have been able to let, you know, Maccabi should have signed. There's no question.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, he was a guy whose career was kind of taken off by Israelis. You know, he was mm-hmm. Playing for Sharon Drucker in Greece. And, you know, because of financial issues, he ended up coming while I was an intern at Bnei Sharon under Dan Shamir. And, you know, he in Bnei Sharon, you know, with that team, you know, we had, you know, with the Russian rule, we didn't have so much room for big guys. We had Lee Nalon and Sean James. And, you know, he was coming off the bench. He was a little inconsistent. It was a tough role for him. And Dan Shamir still really believed in him, brought him with him to Holon, where he was unbelievable. So, you know, yeah, like you said, Dunston was a guy who was right under Maccabi's nose. And I think it was hard for us to really appreciate, like, how much this Kyle Hines movement would go. You know, we in Rishon benefited. Adrian Uter was the style player right, also.
Exactly.
And I think these, you know, 6'8", 6'9", even sometimes 6'7", big guys, good legs, smart, committed to defense, aggressive. I think those guys are good in Israel, and other teams in Europe at the highest levels are starting to play like that a little bit. Like, you know, also this Draymond Green revolution in America right. also really mm-hmm. the game.
And your thoughts on Blackshear?
Blackshear, you know, he's a very skilled player. I could see him, you know, if he got a chance in EuroLeague, you know, succeeding. But I would think Maccabi should be able to do better. But I could see him, you know, he might be a player who could end up, you know, Maccabi might regret if they don't take him in the future. But I think right now they, to play the style that Giannis wants to play, they need to have a little bit more athleticism.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like Kerry Blackshear a lot. Of the three, I also thought he was the least, I don't know, the one that, if they had to take two of the three, he would be the guy that I would not have taken. I know that people like him a lot. His, you know, the fact that he does have a very good three-point shot, the fact that he hits his free throws, but they can do better.
I also think they find Kerry better. Kerry Blackshear, you know, if the reports are true that they're going to bring Jay Cohen, I think Jay Cohen fills a lot of the boxes that Kerry Blackshear would fill.
Correct. Now, Jay Cohen would be coming in for Dragon Bender. We'll get into that the roster in a couple minutes. Of course, we're on here with AJ Mitnick going through the Israeli finals, breaking down the three games. Of course, I think one last word I'll just say, you know, I think you really hit the nail on the head with Ntana Larvsey. Benaiah Suhr was great. I think Benaiah Suhr can be a very big force in this league as he continues to develop. He is a real
Who do you think is a better free throw shooter, Benaiah Suhr or Ben Simmons?
Benaiah Suhr. He went 4 for 6. He went 4 for 6 in money time in that game too. So there's no question that's Benaiah Suhr, amazingly enough, right? I mean, but it's interesting to see this guy develop. I've been watching him for a few years, and he was able to stand toe to toe with Ante Zizic. I mean, I know Ante Zizic was a little bit hurt. He had to take an injection for his back. He hurt his back. He said,
"Let's slow down there." He didn't go toe to toe with Zizic. He matched up against him in a big game. Made a couple plays here and there, but. To say Benaiah Suhr went toe to toe with Zizic, I think we need to tone down the language
In game two, I thought he played Zizic. He caused them all kinds of problems.
He definitely had his moments. I think it's been a really important last 2 years for his development. You know what he's done in Gilboa. I think he's shown that he can play in this league. But I still think he's a work in progress.
He's still a backup
for this level at this time.
That is for certain. That you're not going to get any argument out of me. Let's take a look at Maccabi version 2021-2022, AJ.
Before we go take a look at their roster, you know, I just want to say, you know, as being someone who's around the same age as Omri Caspi, you know, we were talking about Scotty Wilbekin, like, you know, how much he's been pro-Israel and an outward source for Israel. Now, there's a chance, you know, just from hearing his interviews that this might have been Omri's last game as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just what he did, you know, for Israeli basketball players, you know, like that since he made to the NBA, you know, Gal Mekel got a chance. Sean Dawson and Zussman got chances in Summer League. Yamadar got drafted. Danny Avdia, you know, has a chance to – you know, duplicate or hopefully even far, you know, exceed Omri Caspi's NBA career. We got Noam Dovrat on NBA draft radars. And, you know, many future Israeli prospects to come that, you know, just Omri coming out to the league. I think we couldn't have asked for a better representative, like for the, you know, Israeli and Jewish people, you know, for 10 years, like representing us in the league, just showing people what Israel is all about. You know, I know he brought a lot of NBA players with him in the summer to kind of show them, you know, Israel and our culture and just like our side in the world. So, you know, I just want to say like a public, you know, thank you to Omri for all the great memories and for everything you did for us as, you know, Jewish Israeli basketball fans, you know, but thank you for everything, Omri.
Yeah, no, there's no question. Sports Rabbi shares those sentiments. I mean, Omri Caspi was a superstar for any of us young Jewish sports fans to be the first Jewish NBA, Israeli NBA player being drafted in the first round and being able to take that level with the Sacramento Kings. And of course, he played for another few clubs as well, the Cavaliers, the Rockets, the Grizzlies, the Golden State Warriors, amongst others. So, for my kids, especially my oldest son, Dov, who's 21, almost 22, he looks at Omri Caspi as one of those stars. I mean, he was able to see him play in his first couple of years in Sacramento. We went to go see him. That was one of the reasons why I took that trip that I mentioned earlier to you off air. My only time in the West Coast was to go see Omri Caspi play. In the NBA, that was something very special. And to be able to see him on the floor of an NBA arena, you know, matching up with some of the greats. I mean, Marc Gasol was playing with the Memphis Grizzlies. We saw them play against the Sacramento Kings that day. DeMarcus Cousins had just been drafted. So there was a lot of, you know, action around him. I got to sit with Paul Westphal, who just recently passed away, for about a half an hour on that trip just to talk about basketball. It was amazing. And a special person. Just an amazing person, a very caring person, very no ego. He goes out there, his very calm demeanor. You could tell when he spoke to us afterwards, and we saw what happened on TV, and he spoke to us afterwards. He was, you know, physically, he said he feels fine. Physically, his body's in good shape. He feels that he's over the injuries, but mentally, the last couple of years dealing with those injuries and coming back and working to get back into shape and then making the moves have just, you know, been mentally trying for him. He seemed to be very tired, very wiped out, very exhausted. You can't blame him. And he also played 25 minutes in that game three. I mean, Giannis was basically keeping him out there when many of us probably thought that there should have been different players on the court. He kept him out there. He had faith in him. He trusted him. And knowing that probably could have been his last game, he didn't want to deny him the opportunity to not be an important factor in the championship that Maccabi was going to win. Will he come back next year? Will he not? My gut is, AJ, I think he's going to give it one more go. I think he's going to sit down. He's going to take a nice vacation. He's going to relax. He's going to kick his feet up. He's going to hang out with his wife and his children and his family. And I think he's going to try to give it one more go. I think that Maccabi will make, and we'll get into the moves now. I think Maccabi is going to make a concerted effort to put the right pieces around Scottie Wilbekin. And I don't know if Omri Caspi is going to want to walk away without having that one chance at perhaps European glory where he can make a difference. You know, it's, you know, he was really wiped out. He was talking from the heart. He could say that, you know, this was my last game. And it could very well be. My gut tells me he's still young. He's not old. And if he's physically in shape, he may look back and say, if I walk away from this game at 32 years of age right now, I don't know if I'm going to have another chance afterwards, but I'm still young enough. If I'm physically fit to go, even if it's, you know, playing a very, very limited role, maybe this is where I need to be for one more season to give it one more go and to really, you know, pick my spots when I do play in the Israeli league. I think that Maccabi did not do a good enough job getting in some of their younger players this season. Dori Sarr, Aiden Albert, Jonathan Atias. They, especially over the last half a season, they did a brutal job giving those guys minutes. They did an awful job.
What would have been a lot easier if they would have been blown teams out like they did in the past. That's how a lot of the young guys got their chances in Maccabi.
I know.
Zalmanson back in the day, you know, like mm-hmm. –
I was at his debut.
17-year-old kid.
I was at his debut, AJ. I remember.
Yeah,
I hear you.
If your team's up by 30, it's an easier chance to get the young guys.
There were so many games that Albert did not dress this season. I can't. You know, he could have been a piece on a other team if it would have been Nesion, if he would have stayed there one more season. If it would have been maybe Beersheba, he could have gotten some minutes elsewhere. And Maccabi wanted him back. Again, that's something to get into it at another time. But my gut tells me Omri Caspi is not going to walk away yet. I think that he needs a good month off now.
I hope you're right. You know, I think many of the listeners would agree that he's a fun player to watch. You know, I think it would be really fun for him to play again. I think, you know, he was robbed a little bit of the European experience, you know, just with his injuries and coronavirus last year. And yeah, just the disappointments this year, his injuries this year. So it would definitely be nice to start fresh. You know, in an ideal world, he'll be healthy after the summer. Definitely was tough to watch for him. You know, like you had some people in the media and fans of Maccabi kind of getting restless that he was on this big contract and wasn't playing so much. But from what I've been hearing, he was working tirelessly around the clock to try to get himself healthy and get himself ready to play.
Yeah. I agree. And just from what you said, it leads me to believe it's very hard to walk away from that. You're going to tell me that he's put in all that effort to get physically back to where he is. I think he needs to take a good month off and sit by the beach at a pool.
I think that's necessary one way or the other.
I think that's
I just think, you know, with all that work, you know, it does seem like, physically and mentally, you know, it's up to him. You know, I think after everything he's accomplished, he has to really want it to
right,
keep
right,
going. So
he has nothing to prove to anybody. He has nothing to prove. He will always have
no doubt.
Nothing. He has zero to prove. But I believe that. And the other thing that is still hanging there as well is the European Championships next year. That's also still hanging there. He hasn't mentioned it. He hasn't spoken about it. He hasn't even really been in the mix with the Israeli team. But he is young enough, and if he's physically good, you know, these are the type of things you want to go out on top with.
You see what Pau Gasol is doing. Maybe if Pau Gasol have a nice showing in the Olympics, maybe that'll convince him a little bit.
It could be. Of course, we're on here with AJ Mitnick. So let's get down to the roster now. Okay, this is the nitty gritty stuff. What does Maccabi have to do, and what is Maccabi going to do, AJ? What are your thoughts? You lead this part of the conversation. You know what players they have on their team. Let's get going.
Yeah, I don't want to get myself, my tongue tied up in any troubles, but I would say, it's some keys that Maccabi needs to address, in terms of what they need to bring, in my opinion, is they need to bring, athletic, paint finisher, defensive oriented center. Mm-hmm. I think, if you're going to keep rolling with Zizic, they had Othello Hunter last year and, Black, who are both defense guys. And, with Hunter getting a little bit older, whether they'll keep him or not, which it's looking strongly like they will not.
I can't.
They'll need to bring someone with fresh legs, top defensive player, especially for the moments that Zizic is off the floor, just kind of balance out the lineups.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to bring another, four man who's also defense, even can stretch the floor. And also whether or not they keep Chris Jones, they need to bring in a top flight point guard. Even if they'll bring Iftach Ziv, in addition to that, they need to bring a top level foreigner point guard. So, I'd say that's their two. I would even say point guard is their first, second, third need. First priority is you have to bring a top EuroLeague level point guard, whether that's somebody who drops from the NBA, someone who's been a star in EuroLeague. That I think, we'll leave that to Nikola and Avi Evan and Giannis to decide. But they need to address, bringing in a top-level point guard.
Well, listen, I think that has been their priority over the last few seasons, and they've not been able to do that. Now, Chris Jones, I'll say this, very nice guy, puts in his work, calm demeanor, does his job.
And Jones was very impressive in the playoffs.
Yes, he was. He was excellent. He was excellent, and that's why you start seeing these rumors that Barcelona is looking at Chris Jones, and maybe he fits in a style of play that they're looking for.
I think it would be quite reasonable for Maccabi to keep Chris Jones. If you keep him, you lost Dorsey. You still need to bring another. Doesn't matter who you bring, who you keep, you need to bring another top flight EuroLeague point guard.
I don't see Chris Jones as a starting point guard. I don't see him playing next to Scotty. I don't think I that was a question that I asked all season long with Scotty. I know at the beginning of the year he's still getting used to Chris Jones. Something just never clicked between the two of them. Nothing on a personal level. It just didn't click. Chris Jones is a funny shot. He is a slow player to some extent, and he runs a very static offense. I find coming off the bench, I think he's fine. Have another year to develop in Maccabi, the EuroLeague. It's a good opportunity for him. I don't see him as being the option that Maccabi needs. They need to bring him to top level.
I could say I definitely didn't scout Chris Jones as much as those in Maccabi did before they brought him. I'd say the game in a lot in the playoffs for me.
Right.
Phenomenal. First of all, it wasn't just that he was phenomenal. Just like how he was looking on the floor and he was really able to just process decisions two, three steps ahead.
Yeah.
And it does show, maybe if you give this guy a little bit more room to grow, a little bit more time at a club, the level of Maccabi, and maybe he can get to a level where he's, starting to be the type of player that Maccabi needs. I think it's, they could keep Chris Jones. If he ends up being a player in Maccabi now for the next 4, 5, 6 years, I think that's what Maccabi needs to get back to.
I agree.
They were good. They took a player, a young project. I think it's it's fair to continue with him.
He's still,
but I do think that they need to upgrade. Okay, they lost Bryant, they lost Dorsey, they need to upgrade.
Yeah, he still has another year on his contract. The fact that there's rumors floating around that he's wanted by some other EuroLeague teams. Now, I don't know if those are planted by, you know, planted by agents or whatever it is. I don't have a clue. Leads me to believe Maccabi also.
I mean, listen, when David Blatt was coaching in Maccabi, there was rumors that every single Israeli point guard was a candidate to sign in Maccabi. So, you know, what's written in June is written in June.
Right. The thing is with Chris Jones, the last thing that Maccabi wants to see is giving up on the player and then him starring that they gave him a start and then he ends up starring somewhere else. That's the last thing they want to do. And I think they're going to keep him. I don't think they're going to let him go. I think they will keep him. The rumored player has been Keenan Evans, who played with Hapoel Haifa this past season under Alain Hussein, a very good friend of Yannis Varoupolis. The two of them were assistant coaches under Pini Gershon Olympiakos. They've maintained a relationship for many, many years, over a decade. Keenan Evans, to me, got my vote as the MVP of the league. He didn't make the first team. For whatever reason, I think that Keenan Evans was a fabulous player. I think that he could be a very good option playing next to Scotty Wilbekin. Is he a EuroLeague player, level player? That still remains to be seen. He hasn't played in Europe. So you're going to be taking a chance bringing him in regardless. But I think I've seen enough of him this season to say that this guy has oodles of potential and is a star player. That's what the sports rabbi thinks. AJ, your thoughts on Keenan Evans?
I mean, I think Keenan Evans is a great player. I could definitely see him, you know, succeeding at the top levels of EuroLeague. Whether or not Maccabi should take him for next season, you know, obviously it's not an easy decision. Maccabi actually, you know, is a quite difficult place, like to take your first stop in EuroLeague. I mean, I think you'll see, you know, you were saying that one of Maccabi's, worst fears is to see players that, you know, were there and then are good in other teams. But I think to Maccabi's credit, you know, they've had some of the best player development, they have some of the best player development definitely in Israel, maybe even in EuroLeague, that, you know, it's pretty natural that, you know, players that go to Maccabi, they improve, whether or not will affect their wins and losses from season to season. It's pretty consistent that guys that go there, you know, their basketball IQs get higher. Athletically, a lot of times they, you know, even if they might get injured just because it's a heavy workload in the season, you know, with all the Israeli league games, cups, EuroLeague, they improve athletically. You know, Rega Fanon does a great job. Their player development staff does a great job. They got Avi Evan and Yair working with players in addition to the coaching staff. So I think it's inevitable, you know, players that'll leave Maccabi might be good elsewhere. So I think that's not really the way to judge it, you know, because I think it's more, you know, like to judge how players will be for them.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like,
even if they'll take Keenan Evans, who's he definitely is deserving, after what he did last year, is deserving to be a player in Maccabi. In addition to that, they'll need to bring another top flight experienced EuroLeague point guard. I think one of the things Maccabi needs to get back to, I don't know if they'll have the budget like they used to, but Maccabi used to have a lot of great players in their team, just a high quantity of high quality players. I think that's something they need to get back to. And another way to do that is also just by having four or five of the best Israeli players in the world on their team, which is correct, a thing they haven't consistently had in the last few years.
Looking at Israeli players, Oz Blazer hasn't been a mainstay in the rotation over the last month or so. And he even admitted that to us after the game. He wants to stay. He was on a one-year contract. I believe that Oz Blazer will stay at Maccabi Tel Aviv. I can't see them letting him go at this point. I think he's a good guy. He cares. He's a hard worker. He could stay in Maccabi for a number of years down the road. And what's his limit? What's his ceiling? How much better is he going to get? He's not getting any younger. He's not that old. He's a good guy to have, good Israeli to have around. I can't see them letting Oz Blazer walk after one season, AJ.
I think one of the advantages that Oz Blazer has is, you know, you have a lot of Israeli players who have ego. You know, when you're one of the top handful of players in any country, it's pretty, you know, justified to be very self-confident. But I think Oz Blazer's a player with no ego. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why he got to Maccabi. You know, I think he, by all means, you know, like with his physical traits and, you know, just his toughness and, you know, his skill level, he's definitely a player to be an Israeli in Maccabi. And I think it's maybe even an advantage for him that, you know, he's a guy who he'll give you the same level of positivity and leadership and work ethic. He plays 3 minutes, 0 minutes, or 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that's the type of, you know, Israeli vet with spirit, with no ego, that, you know, if Maccabi's going to be taking like 5, 6, 7 of the best Israeli players, if one of them is Oz Blazer, it's definitely a good place to start.
John Di Bartolomeo, captain of the team, still has another year on his contract. Definitely did not play, and he'll, you know, rightfully admit it, to the level that he had wanted to all season long. He looked a lot better, especially over this final series where he played a tremendous role. For Maccabi Tel Aviv, he played, you know, 15, 20 minutes a game, and was a key player because there was no Dorsey and no Elijah Bryant. I'm sure he's going to continue on with the team. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. About AJ, I know that some people have spoken, you know, it's time to move on from John. He should go to Jerusalem, take a step down. I don't see that happening. I see him being
I'll even say it like this. If I'll be on a team in the league next year, I sure hope that John D will stay in Maccabi, because if he's on another team, he's killed me a bunch of times. So I would like to see him buried on the bench in Maccabi instead of, you know, being one of the most agitating point guards to play against, you know, offensively and defensively. You know, he's the kind of guy, you know, he'll really wear down your point guards with this pressure and, yeah, you know, make a three that'll really just suck the life out of you. So hopefully, if I'm competing against him, let him stay on the bench in Maccabi or else, because he'd be an MVP candidate in another team, I think.
Yeah, he won the league MVP. Remember with Haifa?
I think a summer off for John D will do him a lot of good.
Yes,
he's suffered injuries, and, you know, people really take for granted like just that the fact that this league has been running and running and running. I think a good summer off. Yeah, obviously if he'd go next year to a team that's one game a week, or, you know, even playing at a lower level than EuroLeague, he would be a lot more, you know, impactful on the court than he was this year in Maccabi. But I even think, you know, he's also another guy, like I was mentioned about Oz Blazer. I think he's a guy, a humble guy, came from Division III college, you know, played low levels in Europe before he came to Israel. That he's got a contract there. They love him. He's been captain. I think the fact that he's been able to be flexible with his role, you know, like, I know when he first was getting to Maccabi, he was, you know, telling friends from back home, wow, I can't even believe I'm playing against some of these players. I think there should be a place for him still in Maccabi next year.
I'm sure.
You know, obviously it's anything can happen. But, you know, my personal philosophy is Maccabi does need to get back to, you know, having a large depth of, you know, Israeli talent, because it's a long season in this new EuroLeague. And one of the advantages some of these other teams have is it's not just their top tier foreign players, it's that they have a long stable of, you know, effective local players who help them in the local league and can step in and play backup minutes or important minutes in the EuroLeague as well.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure out what TJ Klein most probably. I don't see him continuing with Maccabi Tel Aviv. I don't know if he did whatever he could for the minutes that he could. I spoke to him last night. You know, he's thrilled. He's a high energy guy, first guy off the bench when there's a timeout called. You know, he just loves being out there. He hit a very nice fadeaway yesterday in the game. He showed flashes and moments. I love TJ. I just don't know if his future is going to be in Maccabi. Othello Hunter, I think his future is pretty much up in the air right now. We'll have to see where he lands up, but I don't see him continuing on with Maccabi Tel Aviv after the season where he had just so many injuries. And I think that he's also been carrying something also over the last little while. Ante Zizic is just staying with Maccabi Tel Aviv. The last two players I'm going to put out there for you right now, Angelo Cagliaro. The guy has been he's been released by Maccabi in the media about 300 times over the last 3 years. And when it comes down to money time, the guy is always there. I don't know how he does
it. Three for three in the final game.
And forget about that. How about in the first game? He was 4 for 6. I mean, it is absolutely unbelievable. The guy, and he was 1 for 1 in game 2 even. So, you know, he still has a contract with Maccabi Tel Aviv. I know it's a high contract. For what I would consider, and again, there's nothing against Angelo. I see him as a backup coming off the bench in the EuroLeague. I don't see him as your starting EuroLeague forward. He has to do more offensively, especially, and maybe he wasn't put in the positions to do that this season. He was there as a defensive stopper in many cases. And in the Israeli league, defensively, he is one of the top players. There's no question. Offensively, can be one of the top players. In the EuroLeague, you can't have a guy scoring 6 points a game in that position. And that is...
I think he's one of several players in Maccabi this year. You know, Zussman also being one of them. Like, even though Zussman also was injured for a good portion of the season. But I think he's one of several guys who... The fact that Maccabi was missing one or two more elite pieces...
Right.
Made their weaknesses to be a little bit more shown. So, Angelo, what he brings to the table is really good for a club like Maccabi Tel Aviv.
100%.
Another high volume player in addition to Scotty Wilbekin.
And he never gets hurt. Hasn't been hurt.
You know, offense, big guy. He brings leadership. He brings toughness. You know, like if your starting lineup is awesome, he could be your fifth starter and he can fill in really well. I think, like you said, he's been released by the media 1,000 times. But I think it's inevitable that, we'll be talking in June 2022 and he'll be a solid contributor.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's also, you know, you look at Maccabi's roster, you know, 7-8 foreigners that can dress 5 to Israeli leagues. So you think, oh, for sure he's not going to play in the playoffs. Every year in Maccabi, not only does he play, he starts. I think it's pretty obvious. Yeah, you can't fool him a million times. He should be back next year, I think.
Yeah, I don't see him going anywhere. Now, last but not least, Yovel Zussman. I don't know what you do with this guy. I mean, I'm just so confused, and I think he's confused. Here's a player that, you know, we've seen amazing flashes, great defensive efforts on some games, wins the MVP of the Israel State Cup with a tremendous shooting performance. And then in the finals, plays 21 minutes, goes 0 for 3 from 3, 4 points in game 1. He plays only 6 minutes in game 2. It was an absolute disaster. Yesterday, played 29 minutes, 8 points. Defensively, he was great. He was a stopper, kind of because he only played 6 minutes in game 2, so he had the wheels to go. I don't know where his future lies. I'll even say this.
I think only in Israel can we be having, you know, we just have one team that's EuroLeague that, you know, we have a guy who was MVP of the under-20 national team.
Right.
Played NBA Summer League, you know, was an NBA draft prospect. He didn't get picked. Like, he was on the NBA team's radars. If he doesn't get signed in the NBA, he should play in Maccabi Tel Aviv. Case closed. So any player like that, like Maccabi and the player, like I think it just needs to be understood. The top Israeli players need to play in Maccabi
Tel Aviv.
The culture.
I know. I agree. Though he's out of contract,
contract.
Oh well, are they going to want to spend the money on that, or is he? You know, perhaps if Katash does stay, it seems that, you know, there's rumors if Oded Katash, Lior Lubin were going to be in Panathinaikos, then the owner thought he was going to be coming back, and they were going to bring in another coach. And now it seems that the owner's not coming back, and they're going to keep him. I mean, does Zussman? Does he try to, you know, go? Now, Maccabi has the right to match any offer. Panathinaikos doesn't even have the money. Maccabi can definitely match anything that Panathinaikos is going to offer. That is no question. The question is, do you let him go? Do you let him go? If he does sign an offer for X amount of dollars with Panathinaikos and he has a nice soft landing with Katash, do you not match it? Do you let him go for his own good? And see what happens over that course of time, or do you not take that chance? I don't know. I, I'm I have a lot of mixed feelings. Maybe I'm old school
or maybe I'm naive, like in the way I'm thinking, but like, you know, Maccabi acquired Zussman like out of the youth department, like loaned him to Renana in the second division after he finished the youth department, invested a lot of time in him, gave him a lot of love. Like, and I think also he's given it back, you know, like, I think if there's a special bond between Maccabi Tel Aviv and Yovel Zussman, what would be the problem if he plays in Maccabi for his whole career? You know, if he'll make it to the NBA, I really hope for him, like, that he will. But I think we kind of need to get back to that, you know, of like, you know, players finding a home and staying there for a long time. I think, you know, every time you see that happening in clubs, it's special.
All right. So bottom line is, and I think you hit them on the nail on the head here when we began this portion of the conversation, they need an elite point guard. That is no question. They need an elite center, and they need to bring in another four. You know, so they need to bring in a top level four. That there's no question. Those are the places. It looks like Jake Cohn's going to come back now to replace Dragan Bender because he's out with his ACL injury. I don't even know if they would have kept Dragan Bender because he has an injury. They're going to probably keep him on at this point. So I think those are the three places they've got to figure out to bring in a top level point guard. That's the bottom.
And I think hindsight being 2020, Maccabi maybe should have kept Jake Cohn instead of bringing Dragan Bender this year. Might have helped balance the roster quite a bit.
You can talk to Nikola Vucic about that. Hey, Jay. No, but I'll say this. I will say this about Jake. I think he needed the year away. I think he needed the year away. He just had a baby. When he spoke, especially near the end of last year, he wanted to dial it down a little bit, like only playing once a week. I spoke to him a number of times on the record, off the record over the course of the season this year. He was in Obradoro. He played with some very good friends of his. He was able to be a father for the first year. He was able to be a husband for the first year. He didn't have the pressure of, you know, on one hand, he got the opportunity to play EuroLeague level competition, which was great, but he didn't have to play a 70 some odd game schedule, which is also great. And I think that the hunger's back, you know, maybe, you know, 1 year away, you know, he was very outspoken about how Israel handled the corona, how the league handled the corona. I think he needed a year away to just reset. And I think, again, with Omri Caspi also, I think a month away now, I think he's going to settle down and reset. And I think that's what we see with Jake Cohn. You know, at the end of the day, I think it was a good thing for both sides. I know that there was like a contractual, very small contractual issue that may have also played a factor here. But I don't think that was the total thing. I think he went to a good landing spot. I know he spoke to a lot of people that had played in Obradoro. He got to work with a coach over there. That works on bringing up young talent, and I think it was a good opportunity for him to see something a little bit different at his age. And now I think the batteries are refreshed. He's not getting any younger, and you know this is his chance to come back and play again EuroLeague level and be a contributing factor and to come in through the front door and really be a very important factor in the EuroLeague, which he hasn't been. His last year at Maccabi, he was an important piece. He wasn't a starring role. I don't think he wouldn't be a starring role now either, but I think that coming through the front door back to Maccabi will help him as well.
I don't know. I mean, the last year he was in Maccabi, I don't know if you remember that game in Gilboa. And they had all those EuroLeague games, and he played like double overtime, making big threes.
Oh yeah,
Giannis relied on him heavily, like before the corona, even, you know, to play a lot of minutes. That I think even before when he was in Maccabi, his last 2 years, he played quite an important role. He's just a true pro's pro, and puts a lot of effort into, you know, maintaining his game. Very hard practice player, gives full effort. You know, whether he also another guy that could go EuroLeague, play 5 minutes as a backup, and he's ready to go to play 30 minutes the next night in Israeli league. I think he's got a lot of experience doing it. Like, and he's a true professional. He definitely would be a very valuable addition for them. And I definitely stand by my words that, you know, from Maccabi's perspective, it might have been a good experience for Jake to head to Obradoro, but I think with hindsight being 2020, you know, obviously you make your calculations, your decisions, you go on decisions. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But I think with hindsight being 2020, especially with Omri Caspi getting injured, I think, and Dragan Bender's, signing at the, instead of getting a top tier player, you know, having to settle for what the market gave you. I think if they knew the market would give them Dragan Bender and this is how he would play, I think they would make a different decision if they went back in time.
Yeah, I think that they would. I think there's no question. But again, I think the year was good for him. I think for Jake Cohen himself, I think it was a good year for him to be able to be with friends, to be with players that he's played with in college, to be in an environment where he could, be a father for a first year with a little bit less pressure. And the pressure, we know Maccabi Tel Aviv is one of the biggest pressure cookers that exist in the world. It's okay to take a year off from that. I admire him for making that decision. I think it's
yeah, so. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, and I agree with also, I need to take some time off. But, since I think we're going to get to the end a little bit, I wanted to bring up, I'm sure you saw that Hapoel Haifa signed Kadeem Allen.
Yeah.
And I think, I know a lot of your listeners might be, players who played in this league, over the last, couple of years, or maybe even the last decade since you've been starting writing, that I think Kadeem Allen being willing to sign Hapoel Haifa so early into the summer, after everything, with the war that we recently had and, all the issues, with Corona, with the power outage, just us, having some issues. I think this speaks really, really highly to, the quality of people that we've had in the Israeli league over the last, decade or so. Mm-hmm. I know most foreigners who played in our league speak quite highly of Israel. And, they see, how the clubs and how the country and how people are able to handle, these situations that maybe seem in the media like they're really difficult. I just want to say a big thank you out there to the foreign players who played overseas in Israel and who have really, spread, good words about us as people, mm-hmm. about us as a country, us as clubs. I think, him signing so early, just us coming off fresh off of a tough news cycle last month. Thank you to you guys out there.
You took the words out of my mouth, and I think we'll end it with that. I mean, Kadeem Allen, the fact that they were able to sign him, a player at his level, I was shocked. I got to tell you, yesterday when I saw that news, I was like, wow. That is a good sign. And it's amazing, right? Alain Hasin did a fabulous job with that team this year. They came up from the second division for the first time in 20 years. He hit on every single foreign player he brought in, every one of them. It was Keenan Evans, Leonard Freeman, Rakeem Buckles, Jason Sigurds.
And Hapoel Holon, Alar Hasin. And, he had some success there. He had a tough start to a year that kind of derailed his career a little bit. He got a chance in Kiryat Gat when they already had one foot in the door in the second division. This opportunity he got in Hapoel Haifa, you could see he really did his homework and his time off, while he was, working in the youth department in Ironi Ramagan. I think it really shows, that he's done his homework scouting. He's done his homework also tactic-wise. And he really did a bang-up job coaching this team last year, and you can see he's ready to roll for the next year.
Yeah, I mean, give him credit. I was super impressed, super, super impressed with that signing yesterday. And they do it, and they make the move. This is just breaking news. Darren Hillard has left CSKA Moscow, so that is a – it's a player that Maccabi could look at. I don't know if he would be a fit for Maccabi, perfect fit for Maccabi, but definitely a player that they could
He's
look at.
He's definitely been a good fit for Sport 5 and other news outlets of rumoring him to Maccabi.
Oh yes, there's plenty
we'll
of players.
We'll be reading about it tomorrow.
Listen, AJ, this was a lot of fun over the last month and a half that we've been doing this. We're going to continue this up. Next week, we'll be back again with our, off season. We'll be back, throughout the off season, just, talking about what's going on. We may take a couple weeks off here or there, but there's going to definitely be some movement in the marketplace. We'll bring you that. AJ, to have a person of your caliber with us here at Sports Rabbi is a huge honor and a huge pleasure to have you on board. We're hoping that we're going to, you know, have a great, fruitful relationship. And I want to see more out of you. Well, who knows where you're going to be next season? Maybe you'll be back on the sidelines somewhere as well. But this has been a lot of fun. I think you bring a tremendous amount of knowledge, a tremendous amount of heart, and a tremendous amount of know-how to Israeli basketball that that I don't have and that many people in this country don't have. And we thank you for being with us.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun. And, you know, like you can see, I love the league. I love the Israeli players. And hopefully we'll see a lot of fun games going forward in the future.
Where can people find you, AJ?
You can find me at AJ Mitnick on Twitter and Instagram.
Me, the Sports Rabbi, at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest, greatest news in both English and in Hebrew. We're going to have some nice surprises coming out in Sports Rabbi. So make sure everybody tune in for that. You're going to see some big movement on our Hebrew website over the course of the summer. We're excited. We're going to be expanding again, and we're looking forward to doing that into next year. AJ, we'll speak to you soon.
Enjoy.